الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. In a hadith we read, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa bi yadihi wa min lisanihi wa yadihi. Or kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam. That a perfect Muslim is that Muslim that nobody is harmed by his tongue, neither by his hand. And it's necessary to add perfect. It doesn't mean that if a Muslim does harm somebody by his hand or tongue, that he's not a Muslim at all. He is a Muslim, but he's not a perfect Muslim. And everyone likes perfection, likes everything the best. So our Islam must also be the best. So therefore, we should try our utmost that we don't harm anyone by our tongue and neither by our hand. Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi was asked by a Hindu, so it means that Muslims are permitted to harm non-Muslims, because in the hadith it is said, "Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisani wa yadihi." So non-Muslims are excluded and it's permissible. Hazrat explained that is not the case, but because Muslims' life is kathirul wuqu with regard to Muslims, these matters are more with Muslim people. He's a Muslim in his house, wherever he's going to relate to, it will naturally be more with Muslims. Therefore, that has been referred to. This does not mean that non-Muslims, you can harm them. No, you can't harm anyone, whether wrongly, without a due cause. Jihad is something else. But yeah, you cannot harm any person. And ulama have written, muhaddithin, that this also refers to that you don't harm the environment also. Pollution of the environment. A Muslim is not he. He doesn't need regulations from the government, etc. But on his own, he won't pollute water. It comes clearly in the hadith that a person must not do his number one, number two in water. People use water, etc. A person should not do his number two under a tree. People sit there who are traveling, they want to take rest, etc. So we are not allowed to even harm the environment. To throw out things from the car on the road, Muslim is not allowed that. And from that we can understand that smoking is also not allowed. That harms our own health and it harms the other people's health also. It causes pollution also. So anything that will cause any harm to anything is not allowed. Then in this hadith, it is said, min lisanihi is referred to first, and then yadihi, a hand afterwards. The reason for this is, ulama have explained, that when a person has an argument, for example, he doesn't just start hitting somebody. First he will talk, he will get angry, he will shout, then perhaps he'll swear. After that he will use his hands. First his tongue is used. And if the tongue is under control, then the hands will also be under control. So if he does not harm anyone with his tongue, he doesn't say anything with his tongue, then you don't get like a silent movie that he's not speaking anything with his tongue and he's just hitting with his hands or kicking with his legs, etc. First the tongue moves and a person speaks, then afterwards the hands and the legs also start working. So a perfect Muslim is he who does not cause any person any harm, anything, any harm. Animals also, that is clear in the hadith, that those who caused harm to animals were taken to task and were thrown into Jahannam. So even animals we cannot harm. From there also, we can understand that, for example, to do fishing as a sport is not permissible. For eating purposes, then it's all right. But just as a sport, and killing the fish, taking them out from their habitat, etc. Hunting just for a sport is not permissible also. You are causing harm to the animals, to the fish, etc., to birds, whatever it is. Of necessity, or it's your business, you are earning money, then it is quite in order. But just to kill them, that is not permissible, just as a sport. So everything and anything, a Muslim must not cause any harm to any person, to anything. That is a perfect Muslim. One time, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was visiting somebody, and in front of his house there was a little place for a garden, but it was very, very untidy. There was no garden, all dirt was there, etc. And the neighbor's house, which was next door, that garden was well maintained. So Maulana said that, see, this person here hasn't kept a gardener. The neighbors kept a gardener. So see how nice his garden is. So he say, in the same way, a person who keeps a sheikh, see how deen, how nice it will be. And a person who doesn't keep a sheikh, then all the dirt, filth, etc. will accumulate there. And also he says that even this person, when he looks at the neighbor's garden, he will feel nice. Because it's naturally, a person feels nice. And his own garden, which is in a mess, which is totally in ruins, it's destruction, he won't feel happy. Just like that, Maulana said, every person likes everything which is nice. So a person, we in dunya's matters, Maulana said, we endeavor and strive a lot that my car must be the best, my house must be the best, my car, my clothes, according to one's means, he does that. Maulana said, more than that, this is not haram in deen, that you have a nice house, you have a nice car, etc. It's permissible. But more than that, Hadrat said, our deen must be beautiful. Our Islam must be beautiful. Our Quran Sharif Tilawat must be beautiful. Our akhlaq must be beautiful. We must be more worried of our deen. In another hadith, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. Of the beauty of a person's Islam, a person has got Islam, but the beauty of his Islam, the adornment of his Islam, is that he gives up things which are of no benefit to him, which are useless things, which are unnecessary things. And la ya'ni ulama have written that there is no benefit of them in our deen, neither in our dunya also. Just futile, just doing things, just wasting our time. Like a person has got a desk, a calendar. It's the first of the month, the calendar is clean, neat, tidy. But a phone call comes, and while he's waiting, he's scribbling there all the time. This is all just unnecessarily. Hardly the second day of the month, and that whole calendar is full already. You can't make out any dates on there. You can't make out anything. Waste of time, waste of ink, waste of energy. So that is all la yani. So a person that he gives up all la yani. And one time, Hadraji Manana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was going to Heathrow Airport in London. The driver who was taking him had a habit to look around. Some people got the habit while driving. So Hadraji asked him to pull up on one side. When he pulled up, then Hadraji told him, now as much as you want to look around, but when you are driving, keep your eyes on the road. That's so important. How many accidents happen when a person is looking around, is involved in other things, just that little split second, and you find yourself in a very dangerous situation. So that is layani of the eyes, to look around unnecessarily. This side, that side, look where you have to be looking. This also a training is required. Buzurgs in the past, the ummats of the past had one roza, which is in the Quran Sharif also, inni nadartu lirrahmani sawman falan ukallim al-yawma insiya. Roza of not talking. They had that roza also, the ummats of the past. And buzurgs, when a person had this illness of talking a lot, just all the time blabbering, some people just can't keep quiet, talking all the time. So they put a board, hung a board on the person, on which was written, I'm not allowed to speak to anyone. So all must see also, they must not speak to him, and it's a reminder for him also not to speak. And during the straining period that a person goes through, when he spends time by his shaykh, he spends time in the khanqah, if he observes all this properly, then inshallah, afterwards he'll only speak of what is necessary. Buzurgs also, for themselves also, they used to do that whatever they spoke, they noted it down. And at night they would see that to all what they go through it again. Was this necessary? Were the right words used, etc.? The amount that we speak, we won't be able to write it down also. So you can imagine how little they spoke so that they could write it down. And in there again, they made the muhasabah also. In the khanqah of Hadraji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullahi in Jalalabad, people will come and spend a chilla, three chillas. Sometimes they will share a room, two, three people in a room for 6 weeks, for 12 weeks, and at the end of the period, they wouldn't know one another's names, they wouldn't know from where you come, what you do, or anything. Whereas we, in the first 2 minutes, we know the whole history of the other person. We have to find out this, we have to find out that. There it was, you came for a purpose for your Islah. You didn't come here to build relationships and to find out about people, etc. So a person talking must be to a very, very minimum. Very little a person must speak. And in that little also he speaks, he must check what things that he speaks. Man samata naja. A person who keeps quiet, that person gets salvation. So it's very important that a person must control his speech. This hadith, min husni islamil mar'i, Imam Abu Zakaria Nawawi rahimahumullah, and other ulama of that caliber, they say that there are 3 hadith which form the foundation and basis of Islam. The one hadith is, ala wa inna fil jasadi lamudghatun. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. That is the heart. If the heart is right, everything will be right. And if the heart is bad, everything will be bad. We know very well, there isn't the most stupid person in the world, that when, if the tree, the leaves are falling off, the tree is not giving fruit, etc., the tree is drying up, that they make effort on the tree itself, on the branches, on the leaves. They put fertilizer, they start watering the leaves. Nobody, everyone knows there's a problem with the root. So that is the most important. And that is the mawdu of the tasawwuf, to work on the heart. If the heart comes right, the eyes will also come right. If the heart comes right, everything, a person's niyat will also come right. It is the heart that has to be worked on. This is the most important thing. And but unfortunately, in insan's matters, even non-Muslims are non-Muslims. But we as Muslims also, we make lot of effort on all the other things. And the heart, very little effort is made. Whereas the actual effort must be made on the heart. Once the heart comes right, everything will come right. Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali has given a beautiful example. He says for the islah of a person, there are 2 ways. There are many ways, but 2 ways which he discusses. One is that all our bad habits that we have got, one by one we start taking them out. I got bad nazri, my tongue is not in control, la yani, and from there ghibat, and from there swearing, and all the other things, whatever, all the things. So one habit you try and take out. So he says that is a very difficult and a very long process, and in many times an unsuccessful process. He gives the example, you have got a piece of ground which you were not looking after. There's somewhere in the jungle. So over a period, all trees, thorn trees, wild animals, snakes, all those things have come in. Now you want to use that piece of ground, you want to build a house, whatever, you want to use it. Now if there's one way that you start taking out all those thorn trees and that you dig, etc. And if it's a rainy season and the rains are good, you'll clean up 1 meter in front and your back will be sore when you stand up and you look at the back. What you clean the 2 meters, it's filled again. Because with the rains, again weeds grew, etc. So you'll take 1 step forward and you'll be going 2 steps back again. So that is like taking out one bad habit which we have got. You'll take out 1-2 habits and many those same habits come back again. Other habits have come again. we manage to control this bad habit, another bad habit has developed. So he says that's a very difficult and in many cases an unsuccessful method. One is you just put petrol, paraffin on there and you put one match stick and the whole thing will burn out. All that wild animals will also run away and everything, your land will be cleared up. And when those things have burnt out, they will make fertilizer for your land. If you intend using it for farming, then you automatically you'll have put fertilizer in your ground also. So the same thing he says with your heart, all the bad habits that we have got, to take out one habit will be very difficult. But just put the fire of the love of Allah. Just develop the love of Allah and all those bad habits will burn out. And all the shayateen and all the evils will run away from there. So just the love of Allah Ta'ala. That is the easiest way. And to cultivate the love of Allah, the sunnatullah, the method which Allah Ta'ala has shown, Ar-Rahman fas'al bihi khabira. That you want to know who is Rahman? Ask those people who are informed about Rahman. You stay with them and you sit in their company, then you will also come to know who is Rahman. And yeah, Allah didn't say Allah fas'al bihi khabira or Al-Ghafoor. Allah used his name Ar-Rahman, the mercy, the kindness, the compassion of Allah Ta'ala. As a person comes to know Allah Ta'ala, it's impossible that he does not fall in love with Allah Ta'ala. Yeah, in this world there may be some great person of any institute or the president of the country and you feel he's very influential, I must come to know him. But in the process you might come to know that he's an alcoholic also. You might come to know he's a drug addict. You might come to know that he's a humanizer, he's a gambler, though outwardly he's got so much. So your love will diminish, because when you come to know all his bad, he swindles people in business transactions, he does wrong things, etc. But Allah Jalla Jalaluhu Amma Nawaluhu is only beauty, is only perfection. One of the names of Allah Ta'ala is Al-Quddus. Al-Quddus, who has been pure in the past and will remain pure forever in the future also. So as a person comes to know Allah, he'll only come to know the beauty of Allah. So he will just automatically fall in love with Allah Ta'ala. Then there are further things that a person can do. Look at the nawal of Allah Ta'ala, the favors Allah has bestowed upon us. That, for example, all the gunas that we have made, when wa'afu anna, that it is that the four records, four files that are kept of our sins, in ya al-afu, the one who rubs out, that Allah rubs out all that records are not kept. And when we say wa'afu anna, then we are rubbing out, we are destroying all the records of our bad deeds. Wa'afir lana wa satril qabih wa idharil jameel. That Allah Ta'ala is ghaffar also. Waghfir lana Allah. Hazrat Maulana Anzar Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was our ustad, and on the minbar when he was sitting, he said that if a person commits gunas, then in the terminology of the Quran Sharif, he is a zalim. He is a person who makes zulam. Yes, he is a zalim. So he says, if you are a zalim by your guna, no big problem and no big deal. Just make tawbah, you will find Allah Ta'ala is ghafir also. And a person who makes a lot of gunas, then he is zallam. So then also no problem. You will find Allah is ghaffar. You just make tawbah and you will find Allah is forgiving. And muntahal jumu'ah. In Arabic there is that jama' muntahal jumu'ah. That if you make lot of guna, then you are zalum. A person who makes lot of guna, then also no big problem. Allah Ta'ala is ghafoor. So if you are zalim, Allah Ta'ala is ghafir. If you are zallam, Allah is ghaffar. If you are zalum, Allah is ghafoor. And Allah Ta'ala is there to forgive you. And ghafir and ghaffar has come very little in the Quran Sharif. Mostly which has come, ghafoor. And then again, not only ghafoor, ghafoorul raheem, ghafoorul wadood, One time, our Shaykh, when he was in the khidmat of his Shaykh, Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri, rahmatullah alayh, Hadrat was outside doing some work, washing clothing or whatever it was, and his Shaykh came running to him, and he said, Hakim Akhtar, ek ilm, a naya ilm ata hua. Allah has given me a new knowledge. What was that? That why is Allah Ghafoor, which is the Muntahal Jumu'ah. Why does Allah forgive so much? Because Allah is Wadood. He loves His creation. Who you love, you just forgive that person over and over. Or at the most you'll say, just ask me for forgiveness and I will forgive you. Because you, and who you don't love, you say, I'll never forgive you. But who you got love for, you readily forgive that. So Allah loves His creation. And then Allah is not only Ghafoorul Wadood, Allah is Ghafoorul Rahim also. That after forgiveness, Allah shows His Rahmat also. We find here in this world, if a person was found guilty for any crime, and he gets presidential pardon, that now, okay, we forgive you, and we overlook it. But they don't set him up in business, give him a house. Allah, after Allah has forgiven you, then Allah's Rahmat also, Allah showers upon you. That and waghfir lana warhamna. Here is the rahm of Allah Ta'ala. Then what is warhamna? The tafsir ma'a istiqaqina bifununil ma'a tafaddal alayna bifununil a'la. Oh Allah, you shower your blessings, and funun jama, and Allah, your ni'mats, your unlimited, untold ni'mats, you pour them down upon us. In wa'afu anna, our gunas, records are finished, destroyed. Wa'afir lana, Allah hides our evil and makes known our good deeds. Wa'arhamna, now Allah Ta'ala, that we tafaddal alayna bifununil a'la. Shower your ni'mats which were untold ni'mats. Ma'a istihqaqina bi'afaninil iqab. We were guilty and we should be punished. Ye muntahal jumo. Afanin. Iqab. We were supposed to get the worst punishment. But in place of that punishment, you are Rahman. You send your rahmat upon us. So how merciful is Allah tabarak ta'ala. So anyway, the heart is the thing that effort has to be made on. And a person must always, very important, that keep in mind that our heart must be cleansed. The direction of the heart must be correct. When the heart's direction is towards dunya, that person will be making namaz, but his namaz will also be dunya. His tilawat will be dunya. His hajj will be dunya. His zakat will be dunya. And if your heart is turned towards akhirat, even your playing with your wife, with your children, that will also be deen. All these things also. So the direction of the heart. And then the heart must be cleansed also. One glass of ordinary water, tap water, which many places, the tap water also contains so much dirt in it. But we are not prepared to put that into a glass, because the glass is dirty on the outside. If we are eating, and while eating, we handle the glass and marks form on the outside. It's not dirt, it's that food that we were eating. But then we don't want to drink, we don't want to offer somebody else in that glass. We say the glass is dirty. Whereas inside it's clean, and in actual fact it's not dirty outside, it's just the marks of the food that we were eating. But we don't want to, by nature we don't give somebody water in that. So a heart that is dirty, how can we expect Allah to come? And the heart is dirty inside. Yeah, we are not prepared to put municipal water. And the heart that is dirty inside, how will Allah come into a dirty heart? Our Shaykh Damat Barakatuhum was returning from New York, going to Karachi. And he stopped in Damascus, where they had to change their planes. And there, this poem Allah Ta'ala gave Hadrat. This poem was, La ilaha muqaddam hai kalma-e tawheed mein, ghair-e haq jab jaye hain tab dil mein haq aa jaye hain. That in the kalima, la ilaha is first, la, the negative, cleanliness, take out all the dirt from the heart. La ilaha muqaddam hai, before the positive, the negative, la is first, clean the heart, take out all the dirt from the heart. When that is done, to jab ghair-e haq jab jaye hain, when you have taken out the dirt from your heart, तब दिल में हक आ जाए ऑटोमेटिकली अल्लाह कम्स इन टू दैट हार्ट. यू डोंट इवन हैव टू इन्वाइट अल्लाह ताला. अल्लाह विल कम इन टू दैट हार्ट दैट इज क्लीन. एंड इन आवर जिक्र वन मुराकबा दैट वी शुड मेक वट एवरी ला इलाहा एंड वी स्टार्ट फ्रॉम द लेफ्ट साइड वेयर द हार्ट इज ऑन द लेफ्ट एंड वट ला इलाहा दैट वी आर वैक्यूमिंग टेकिंग आउट ऑल द डर्ट एंड पर्टिक्यूलर विच गुना वी फाइंड आवर सेल्व पर्टिक्यूलरली इन्वॉल्व इन. Guna of badnazri, guna of anger, whichever guna, weakness in namaz, fajr salat, we are weak, whichever guna, with la ilaha, we are taking out that weakness. And with illallah, we are putting the positive, the opposite positive thing into our heart. We are taking out pride, we are putting in humbleness. We are taking out falsehood, we are putting in truthfulness. And a person does that with sincerity, one gathering of zikr, is 100 times you are vacuuming your heart. What will be left in? But if we do it properly, and zikr has to be done, which inshallah towards the end of Ramadan we will discuss the adab of zikr, and it's very important that our zikr must be done properly. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says many people whole life they made zikr but they didn't reach the shore, because the zikr, there are two main things. One is it is not done with concentration and devotion. It is we half sleepy, or our minds are somewhere else. And the second, it's not done with love, ashiqana zikr. It's not done with love, it's done as a duty, just to complete numbers. It's not done with feeling and with love. Otherwise, in one gathering of zikr, a person goes from where to where. All the dirt goes out, Allah's love comes into the heart, if zikr is done properly. So the heart has to be cleansed. When the heart is cleansed, Allah, and in which heart Allah comes, and Allah is the Sultan, the king of that heart, then that whole body, then automatically, which comes in the Hadith Sharif, then Allah becomes the eyes with which he looks, the hands with which he holds, the feet with which he walks. In other words, everything is in conformity with Shariat and is done for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala now. So Allah has to come into the heart. So that is one hadith. Ala wa inna fil jasadi la mudghatun. It's a small piece, mudgha, a small piece of meat, and it controls the whole body. Compared to the whole body, the heart is very small, but it is the heart that really controls the whole body. So effort on the heart has to be made. That is very, very important. Today it's a different world. Even in worldly matters, all I just worry of outside ostentation, beauty, that outside I must look clean, I must look nice. Inside you can be dirty, filthy, nobody worries about it. Especially the Western world, their cleanliness, they know no cleanliness. Then it is only some cosmetics and perfumes and all these things that are put, and the things are shining now, and there's perfume and it's smelling very nice, but inside the dirt. And in the time Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written, taharat in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to refer to taharat al-qalb, the heart, the taharat of the heart. Then it came to be referring to outside taharat, wuzu, ghusl, etc. Now is a time that also not. Now cleanliness, just outward cleanliness, though you can be as napak as it is, but just outward show of cleanliness, that is now what is called taharat and what is called cleanliness. So the inside, the heart has to be clean. The other hadith, which forms the basis of the foundation of Islam, which is part of this hadith, that innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, which also has to do 100% with the heart, that our niyats must be correct. That the direction of the heart, whatever amal we do, the direction of the heart must be correct. So there are these three hadith. One is that Allah wa inna fil jasadi la mudghatun, that the heart must be clean, and niyats must be correct. Innamal a'malu bin niyat. And then to top it all, and the cherry on the top, min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. One person went to a sheikh, to a buzurg, and when he was sitting there in his first meeting, he had come there to become bay'at, etc. So the dhelas, the mud clods to make istinja, there was a box of that lying there. He had his walking stick and he started breaking them. So the sheikh told the khadim, bring another box, because this person, he enjoys breaking the dhelas. In that he made his islah. that they're just wasting time for nothing. How many times we do things just wasting our time? All types of layani in our speech, layani. And a person, we know that one very important aspect, fundamental aspect of good speech, good writing, is to be comprehensive. Few words and plenty of meaning. And when a person fumbles with his words, uses plenty words, and he says nothing. Like commonly it is, a woman will be on the phone for 1 hour, and at the end you ask them what you said, nothing. We were just talking, we didn't say anything. 1 hour of speech and of talking and nothing. One time, Maulana Abdullah Phulpuri, rahmatullahi damat barakatum, was here. We were having sehri, it was Ramzan, by Farooq Patel's house. And the phone rang, and they spoke on the phone, and spoke very little. So he says, the phone, because we have to pay. So it has taught us to control our words. But today it's different. The cell phone, which is so expensive, and for any no reason, a person just using his cell phone. He's coming to whom he has to meet, he sees him there in front, but he phones him, that I'm coming now. They see one another, but still he has to phone. Anything is just this, and it's expensive. The cell phone compared to landline is much more expensive. And where all that money comes, you see poor people, but all the time on the cell phone, and just talking away. So layani of every type must be avoided. And especially in the speech, in our talking, all types of layani must be given up. This is very important. The words a person speaks, it is just like a bullet coming out of the gun. The minute you have pulled your trigger, the bullet is gone out. Now, no matter what you do to try and get that bullet back again, you can't. It's gone out. The minute you spoke a word, like for example, you said talaq for your wife, and then you try and pull it back again, it doesn't come back. And what follows after that, anything else, then you try and tell the person, I didn't mean it, I meant this, I meant that. But once that word is spoken, it is spoken. It's gone out. And the harm of it has been caused. And you can't pull it back again. And forever till Qiyamah it is gone out. Allah will make maaf if a person makes tawbah. Allah forgives very readily. As soon as a person asks sincerely for tawbah, Allah Ta'ala makes maaf. But in this world, that the wound that is caused in the heart of that person, today it is common also, we break the heart of the wife. What and what things we tell her, or how we humiliate her, and how sad in front of her children. She has to have respect from her children. But how many people just don't consider, and what they tell the wife in front of the children? They tell her that you are ugly, that you haven't got a figure, that you are like this, you don't know how to cook. What and what, and how abusive they are. When you break that heart, how can you put love into that heart? A glass, if you break it, now you want to put water in that glass. A broken glass, how can you put water in there? And then you do all this the whole day, which comes in the hadith. You slap your wife, you hit her, and at night you go and sleep with her again. Now you expect her to respond to you. You expect her to make love to you. You broke her heart. You destroyed everything. She's crying. From her heart she's crying. And you expect her to give you love. How can that ever happen? Maintain and look after that heart. And if you have broken the heart like a glass, and the adhesive people, they advertise, don't just stick it, post stick it, or whichever type of cello tape you must use. So now don't expect it to happen overnight. And once a thing has been broken, it breaks again the second time very quickly. So just again a little bit, and again you will destroy it. And it will take you if you are sincere, Allah will give you and make that heart again. And you'll see the love that flows from both sides. And there's no greater joy. One of the aspects of Jannat is in this world, that the husband and wife live with one another with so much of love and with happiness. It is a picture of Jannat in this world. And if we are not having that, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri rahmatullah alayhi used to say that on the freeway, the expressway, cars are just moving one after the other, going at speed, they are going to work, etc. But your car is stuck. So don't say cars are bad. So something wrong with your car. You got some dirt in your fuel line, in your carburetor. You got a puncture. Something is wrong with your car. That's why your car is not moving. So when if my marriage life is not going smoothly, there's some problem. Fix it up. Take out that problem. And then again see that how that car will move. And one of the namats of Jannat, Nikah, is that thing which of this world it will carry on in Jannat also. One Maulana gave a bayan of this type in Lilongwe in Malawi. After that, one old man went to Maulana and he said, I'm hard of hearing, I can't hear properly. So what did you say, Maulana? He says that you'll get your wife back in Jannat also. So he pondered, then he says, what kind of Jannat will that be? That if I get the same wife back there also, then what kind of Jannat was it? Yes, she is endlessly more. What problems and what I'm left. So then he understood what is that man's problem. It wasn't a hearing problem, but he understood that this wife. So he then, Maulana said, no, she sudar jayegi. She'll come right. She'll be more better than the whore. Again he thought for a while, and he says, this woman, she'll never change. She can't change. It's impossible that she's going to change. But there is no doubt. In this world, a person who just chooses the right ways, and we have been taught all that. And it's said that to drive a motor car on a public road will take so much trouble to study, to go for lessons, to learn, to pass the test. And to drive with a wife, that is your whole life you're going to go. You're going to get children. For that we don't study anything. And it's not a matter of only studying and knowing. One student of ours, we had a nice discussion. He came and he told me, isn't it that if you're an alim, why do you need a sheikh? If you anger, that all the remedy is given in the hadith. If you got this, everything is given. You're not performing namaz, the warnings are given in the hadith. Everything. So the hadith is enough for you. So while talking, he himself said that we know all this, but we're still not practicing. So knowing is not enough. That you know now that if you don't make your namaz, what the punishments are, the wa'eeds that have come. That if you got a bad temperament, bad anger, etc., everything has come. But in spite of that, still you don't practice. So I told him first, a doctor, if he's ill, he also has to go to another doctor. Though all the medical books are there, but he can't treat himself, he has to go to another doctor. In the same way, here also. And in spite of having all that knowledge, and there are certain people, it's famous, though many ulama say it's not true, but it's famous about Mullah Ali Qari, who wrote Manasikul Hajj, all the Manasik of Hajj, that when he came to make Hajj the first time, he started Tawaf, and he started going in the wrong direction. So a young Arab boy told him that only if you had read Mullah Ali Qari's kitab, Manasikul. So he said, I'm Mullah Ali Qari myself. But just writing a kitab also is also not enough. So just the knowledge is not enough. A person has to make a specific knowledge, an effort in order to bring deen into his life again. So these are the three basic foundation, a hadith for our deen, and we should keep this in mind always. That will make effort on our heart. The heart must come right. Our niyat must come right, which is part really of that. And then to bring beauty into our deen, we must give up all la ya'ani. Every type of la ya'ani, in our speech especially. We find commonly that we like to sit into in our little gatherings wherever we have. And one of the most dangerous gatherings is what is called the PPC. The Pavement Panchayat Club. That after namaz, we go out on the pavement. And then there you have a Panchayat Club. And to join that club, the only requisite is agarbatti, smoking. That you have in the masjid, you haven't got time to sit 5 minutes for kitab reading. Then it's a waste of time, it's too long, etc. Or in Ramzan, if the imam, the hafiz took 1 minute more, people got proper records that today he took 1 minute more, he took two, he made 2 mistakes, he made 1 mistake, all this discussed in the Pavement Panchayat Club. You haven't got time, you say no time to make tilawat, we are very busy, but half an hour there that you are talking. And the minute a person starts talking, first it starts with mubah, permissible, say how are your house, things, etc., and then it goes into very commonly into ghibat, very, very commonly. And what we have to be very careful about also is Eid's day, the gatherings of Eid's day, that when the family gathers, then how was your Taraweeh, how was your place, all different towns, and then our Hafiz was like that, our Atikaf was like this, and there you fall into ghibat. And the sad part of ghibat is, which came in the hadith also, that we say that we justify it. And how we start our ghibat, we shouldn't make ghibat, but that one but opens the whole doors of a flood of ghibats after that. And a person who doesn't take part in that ghibat is like outcast. If you don't take part. One time we were with my brother-in-law, Maulana Abbas Zubair Ali, and Haji Ahmed Nakhuda in the Jamiat office in India, in Delhi. One person was talking very bad about some ulama, Haji Ahmed Nakhuda, mashallah, Allah Ta'ala has blessed him very greatly. He stopped that person. He said, it's wrong. Don't speak or like that. That person was adamant. He carried on. Then Haji Sahib stood up and he made us, we were like with him, he told us also, let's move away, walk away from here. That is what has to be done. That if a person, you tell him what you are doing, you're making ghibat, it can be on Eid's day, you're going to spoil everything. But in that one Eid's day meeting, the whole immense sawabs what you accumulated, you destroy it in that. One ghibat, and not destroy, you transferred it into the account of the, you only make ghibat, one buzurg says, if you want to make ghibat of family people. Ke ghar ki punji ghar mera hai. That the capital of the house stays in the house. Make ghibat of your wife, so at least it's gone out of your account, it's gone in your wife's account. Make ghibat of your son, your daughter, your father, your mother, so the capital of the house stays in the house. But we make ghibat naturally of that person that we have got some bad feelings, we've got jealousy for him, we've got hatred for him. So all our earnings and Ramzan Sharif earnings, and you took so much care to earn it, and in that one ghibat you transfer it into that person's account. Who can be so stupid? But this is what happens with ghibat. Hazrat Maulana Qamaruz Zaman Sahib said that what call it to speak the truth, sometimes to speak the truth is haram. In ghibat, what is ghibat? That you're speaking the truth of that person, which if he knows that you're speaking about it, he'll dislike it. He did something wrong, which is a fact. And now you speak about it. When you speak, it's the truth you are speaking. But it's behind his back, it is haram. Our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair, I saw on a few occasions, if somebody comes with a complaint about some other person, as soon as he starts and Hazrat makes out it's a complaint about a person, he stops him there and then. Call that person and let him be present now. Because even if I hear, speaking is ghibat, listening is also ghibat if you listen. Now you're hearing about that person in his absence. So then also, and all complaints about that person, so it is all bad things which he wouldn't like. And when that person comes present, 95% of that complaints and things just wither away. Because in front of a person you can't speak. You are so bold and so brave that when he's not there, what then what we speak about the person? But when he's there, then we are so cowards that we can't now speak. Then we just keep quiet. So then that person gets a fair chance to give a reply. That you are telling me about this, about I did this or I did that, you're accusing me. So he gets a fair chance to give his reply also. So immediately then a person must, and if we are speaking of somebody which is not in him, then this is a double guna. This is then buhtan, false accusation. This, and it is ghibat also, and it is false accusation. And very sadly, as Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written, all our gatherings are filled with it. In the name of Mashura, in the name of Tafakkud, in the name of whatever else it is, we sit and we are discussing people. One friend of ours, Maulana Abu Bakr Bamji, he says that, if you want to even eat prawns, which are makruh for the Hanafis, but he says, eat your prawns, but don't eat the alim of your town and the imam of your town. meal's time, you put him on the table. In other words, you start backbiting about him. He did this, he said this, he did this. So you are eating his flesh. And fakarihtumu, how can you eat the flesh of a dead person? You hate to eat it. But yeah, and the most vulnerable, most poisonous flesh is the flesh of the ulama. Maulana Ahmad Buzur, who is the present principal of Dabil Madrasa. His grandfather was also Maulana Ahmad Buzur, very pious person. He said that a person who makes ghibat of 8 alims, he said, I guarantee you, when the person is buried, his face is turned towards Qibla. He says, after that, go and see, and you'll see his face is turned away from Qibla, which is a very dangerous thing. So to make ghibat of any person. One time I asked Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in Dioban, if we make ghibat of the non-Muslims, so he said, what need is there? Rather read Subhanallah, read Durood Sharif, make tilawat of Quran, why you want to make their ghibat? So also we should consider, I asked this question but I didn't get an answer. For a few people are asked that when we listen to news and it's also bad about this person, bad, isn't this also in ghibat? So in any case, a person who doesn't have to listen to news, don't just listen to news just for the sake of listen. If you're in that position, like a mufti, he has to be informed of the situation. He has to know what is happening. He has to know the slang language also of the people, because many masalas are dependent on this. That person, a person who is speaking to the public, and he has to know what they are involved in. Such people have to know, but everyone doesn't have to know. Because then it may be that we are listening to the ghibat of this, because making the ghibat and listening to it, both are equal in guna. So that person is involved in this guna, and unnecessarily also. And we don't even ever think that we must make tawbah from this guna. So ghibat is a terrible sin. It is the worst form of taking interest. How many people will abhor interest? But when you take, when you are making ghibat, it is the worst form of interest. Eh? So a person will never commit incest. No, you can't think of it with his own mother, that he commits adultery with his own mother. But interest is worse than that also. Ghibat is worse than that also. Just because the form is changed doesn't mean it becomes permissible. Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali gave this beautiful example. If somebody comes and put idols of gold in the masjid here, and he tells all, this idols will fulfill all your needs, you worship these idols and they will do everything for you, then even the weakest Muslim will say, this is shirk, it is kufr, take out these idols, though they are made of gold, throw them out. So that person who put them, so he said, okay, and this is what is happening in the world. He melts them and he makes Kruger coins out of them. And now he comes and gives them again out and he says, this will fulfill all your needs. You can buy a house, you can go for Hajj with it, you can go for Umrah with it, you can do everything. Now you say, yeah, it's right. Just the form that has changed. So therefore, we should be very careful today. Many things, just the forms change. And just by the form changing, doesn't legalize that process. It's still what it is. So ghibat is one terrible thing, and we are so guilty of it. And we try and, one is, we're not aware. If you are aware, we try and cover it up. And we say that it's a discussion of facts, that these facts are in that person. And then there is much more detail in it, to go and complain about somebody, and you just don't go and complain in front of everyone and open that fault of that person in front of everyone. You want it to rectify, not just to make known the wrong that person has done. You want it to be rectified, and you know that this person can rectify it. This person, then you speak to him, there it won't be ghibat. But your niyat is like that. But otherwise, our Shaykh Damat Barakatum Jazahumullah Khair says that why did Allah make ghibat haram? It's just like if your son has done something wrong, you will punish him or you will speak to him. But that all the other children are talking about him, you don't like it. And you tell them, don't speak about my son like this. Don't speak about like this about my daughter. You know she has done that wrong. He has done that wrong. But you don't like anyone's. You'll sort it out. So Allah Ta'ala, the izzat of his banda, though he has done wrong, Allah Ta'ala protected the izzat that I make it haram, don't make ghibat. Because now what is ghibat? That the person has done wrong. And all are talking about him and ridiculing him and belittling him, etc. So Allah said it is haram, don't talk. What punishment I have to give, I will sort it out. And if he makes tawbah, and many times a person makes tawbah, and now he's pure. At-ta'ibu min adh-dhanb kama la dhanba lah. It's like he has got no guna, and now people are still slandering him. When he is pure of his guna, he is cleansed of his guna, he made sincere tawbah, and we talking bad about him. So how bad is that? So ghibat, then speaking lies, which is a very another common thing, and all types of lies that we speak, which is very common. How many husband-wife arguments? Wife says that the amount of lies he speaks. Husband will say about the wife the amount of lies she speaks. So that is another. So all this has to do with the tongue. So in this 1 month, if we really make effort and we don't speak anything extra, only what is necessary. We don't have to become snobbish also and carry on like we are very pious and holier than thou attitude and pride. That is also wrong. We don't have that also, but we control our speech. Unnecessary. And in all layani, we stay away. If we can control the tongue, we'll control all the other layani. And then the beauty will come into Islam. From min husni Islam il mar'i, there is also an indication, this is sifat-e ihsan. That you'll get ihsan. And ihsan in our times is tasawwuf. That you'll get the reality of this. And tasawwuf is bringing that beauty into our deen. That is all what tasawwuf is. Otherwise, many people have got deen in them. But what is tasawwuf? To bring the beauty into that deen. And if these things come, control of the tongue, no ghibat, no backbiting, no anger, no vulgar language, etc., the house becomes jannat. Your circles, wherever you are, become jannat. And when these things are not there, your house becomes jahannam in this world. The children, the wife, just cringe when they know you are coming home. They prefer you are out of the house. So this beauty, when it comes, it will bring so much goodness. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.